In week 9, the Saints handed the Rams their first defeats. Now here in the NFC Championship game, Los Angeles hopes to hand the Saints their last. One win down, two to go. The ball is in the air and the NFC Championship game is underway. Play clock at 1. He gets the snap off. Wants to throw. Pressure picked up. He checks down middle. It is tipped. It's picked off through the hands of Gurley and intercepted at the 16-yard line. Breeze under center. Turns. He play fakes. Rolls out to his right. Blitz cut down. He throws end zone. And 1 yard deep. It's caught for the touchdown. 5. Hecker will throw. Right side. Shy of the line to gain. It's caught. Sam Shields makes a move to the outside and moves to chains. Sam Shields does it again with Johnny Hecker.
Goff takes the snap. He's going to hand it off inside to Gurley. He's going to spin his way across the goal line from the 6-yard line, and the Rams get on the board again. 13-9 with 23 seconds remaining. Gurley from 6 yards out. Quick throw to Taysom Hill. Puts his head down across the goal line. Taysom Hill, touchdown Saints.
From the 1, Goff takes the snap. He boots out to his right. Throws wide open. Caught for the touchdown. It's Tyler Higbee. Touchdown LA.
Jump ball. Caught. Dickin Jr. Caught all the way down to the 13-yard line.
Breeze retreats to throw. Settles into the pocket. Arm is hit. Ball is in the air. Middle of the field. It is intercepted. Picked off at the 47-yard line. John Johnson the third. 103 decibels and they're just getting started as Zuerlein sets up for a 57-yard try to win the NFC Championship game. The hold is down. The kick clears the line and Greg Zuerlein sends the Rams to the Super Bowl. Lombardi, Greg Zuerlein from 48 in regulation and 57 in overtime. 26-23, it's over and the Superdome is silent.
Welcome back, 104.5 The Zone. Great job by Morgan assembling highlights of yesterday's NFC Championship game. We'll hear the ones from the AFC coming up shortly. This room ain't going to be silent. Coach Dave McGinnis is here, brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. You need great health care coverage at an affordable price. You can let Farm Bureau Health Plans coach you through it. They have got you covered. Alongside Mark Howard and Wayne Bishop, I'm Kevin Ingram. Morgan Alexander is our producer. Coach Mack, are you with us?
Good morning.
Hang on just a second. We'll get your mic up and running here.
You switch mics or the other mic's not working? Is the other mic working there, Mike? Well, if not, then me and Mark could talk about this horrendous call that they made. Because it's ad nauseum. It's always easy to talk about the horrible stuff, right? Yeah, me and Mark could have made that call. Ingy, we know you could have. You have better vision than we do. But, golly. You know, it was funny, man. I was sitting there talking to my wife, and she's like, man, isn't that a penalty? And I was like, yeah, you know you're right, honey. Oh, I know nothing about the rules, but that doesn't seem right. He hit him before the ball got there.
When somebody gets drilled in the head before the ball gets there.
She said, that's targeting. They hit him in the head. I thought they were trying to be safe for the players. I said, this depends when they want to.
Is this one on here?
Yes. I got you. What's going on?
There you go.
I mean, this is Star Wars in here.
Yeah, man.
Believe me.
That's all right. Look, I'm doing about like Vinovich's crew did yesterday.
Oh, well.
Guys, that was, come on.
Do you think someone should be fired? I'm a proponent, always not trying to get someone fired, but in this case, how should this situation by the NFL be handled? Because they could have been, they called all the plays, I thought, decently, except for that one call. Let's just say that. Let's say that happened. So you think someone should be fired, the referee or the people over the referees?
You know, Blaine, yeah, let's go back. First of all, you know, that's not Vinovich's call. He's the referee. That's Patrick Turner, who's back there at the back judge. It's Gary Cavalletto, the side judge. Let's get the names out there.
Yeah.
Because those are the guys that did it. I mean, they both sat there and swallowed their whistles. And so, but the thing that happens, and this, I think this is just a result of something that's been going on all year in the league. This whole officiating thing is completely ragged. I mean, and the leadership at the top is not good. The training is not good. And what is going on? I mean, look, it's just, it's malpractice. I mean, it really is. I mean, if that was your surgeon, you'd still be on the operating table because, I mean, you wouldn't make it off because that stuff, these are the highest.
They would have let some tools in you and then let you out.
If you made it off the table.
My whole thing is.
That's what Mark was talking about.
Well, you know, Al Riveron's in trouble, not just for yesterday.
No.
Sort of the latest in. And the problem is that too many times, I mean, the league had a fantastic weekend, theoretically. Mm-hmm. Two overtime games in their conference championships, and all we're talking about here is an obviously botched call. There's nothing ambiguous about it. It's not the tuck rule. It's not, it's not interpreting the catch rule. This was pass interference. It didn't get called. It determined the outcome of a game. And I was going to ask you.
And legacies.
Legacies.
And history.
Sean Payton takes this game to his grave.
To his grave. And
Drew Brees, too.
Yeah, exactly right. And all of those guys. Now, look, there are moments within the game. Let's go back, and we were just talking about it earlier. I mean, you're down there, and you got to manage the clock better. Don't throw it incomplete and stop the clock for them, and then don't not be able to do things and call timeouts. All of that being said, and again, I mean, you want to talk about, you know, Coleman, the DB, he was on the wrong person. I mean, he missed his coverage and was chasing the thing. And he did exactly what you teach DBs to do if you're beat. What do you teach them to do if you're beat?
Live for another down. Go tackle him.
And that's exactly what he did. I mean, that's exactly what he did. And that's what he said. He admitted it. He knew it. He was expecting the flag. He was expecting the flag, and so was everybody else. As I said, you know, I said that when I came in here, I was at a big, you know, watch party, you know, yesterday with a lot of people, and, you know, a lot of people have got very good knowledge of what's going on, and some people just casually looking. But when it happened, people that didn't even have an idea looked at me and went, is that right? I went, well, no, it's not. You know, and so to me, that's what needs to be fixed. I mean, ever since Mike Pereira left, okay, you know, and then Dean Blandino left, you got your two best head of officiating department in the last 15 or 20 years sitting in the television booths right now telling the listeners what's going on. The leadership is not good. It's not good. And just what you said, Mark, for the league. Now, this is not just an isolated case. What have we talked about all year?
I'll get a referee.
All year, what have we sat here and talked about? And this, look, this was just a huge stage. And Blaine is 100% right. This is career altering. This is career altering. It's history altering. And again, you say, you know, you take the human element out of it and you take, but that something that egregious, that should be fundamental. That should be fundamental. And I mean, I would just look, I've coached in the league for 31 years, been in the league for 33, I just know the sick feeling, the sick feeling, and not because of something that happened, you know, technically, or not because you got beat deep, or not because, but you, it was something was not officiated correctly that was so blatant. I mean, I was in the room in the owners' meetings the year after the Tuck rule.
Oh, right.
And I watched the Raider official get up in front of the whole general session. You got general sessions, you got close with a football, and said, somebody get up here and explain this to me. Okay. You don't need any explanation of this. Sean Payton, Sean's on the competition committee. There's something going to be done now. This is going to be done.
All right, we got to go to a break, but when we come back, I want to talk about a decision Sean McVay made, but also the overtime rule, which I still think stinks.
Still in regulation here on our show. Coach Dave McGinnis is with us from Farm Bureau Health Plans. More Wake Up Zone coming up next here on 104.5 Zone. First, Blaine, and a word about Gary Ashton.
Yes, I've been telling you about Gary Ashton and his team at RE/MAX Advantage for a while now. They are Tennessee's number one real estate team. One of the reasons why they're Tennessee's number one real estate team is because of innovations like reverse search real estate. What is reverse search real estate, you ask? It's a way of finding out all the buyers in Nashville looking for a home just like yours before you put it on the market. The technology works by leveraging the biggest database on Nashville real estate. You type in the address and how much you want to sell for, and boom, you can see all the buyers looking for your kind of home. That's why you say, don't sell without the intel. Plus, your listings come up first on their site. That's the Ashton advantage. So give Gary Ashton's team a call today at 615-301-1650 or visit them online at GaryAshton.com. But if you call today, Gary will donate $50 to the Vanderbilt Children's Hospital for every listen appointment he goes on. So give him a call, 615-301-1650 or online at GaryAshton.com.
Devlin, the fullback for Michelle. Short motion by Allen, left of the reset. A give to Michelle. Runs it left into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
Action fake. They throw it over the middle. It's intercepted. Reggie Ragland's got it in the end zone. He's not going to run it out. He goes down on his hip.
Brady takes the snap. Back three steps. He pumps. He looks long. He throws it down the left side for Dorsett. Yes. And he makes the catch in the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
What did I just tell you?
Three wide. Mahomes out of the shotgun.
Zings it for the end zone. Caught by Kelce on a slant. Touchdown, Kansas City.
Gostkowski swings the right leg. Kick driven to the uprights, and the kick is good.
That's money.
Steven Gostkowski converts.
Big boy kick.
They're going to run a roll out to the right side. Throw for Dale Williams.
He catches the football. Right side. Touchdown, Kansas City. The Chiefs are right in the thick of it, baby, here in the AFC Championship game.
Brady under center is going to hand it off.
He Burkett his head. He's hit in the backfield. I'm not sure he got it. I think the Chiefs have stopped the Patriots. Dirty Dan Sorensen and Reggie Ragland. They torpedo Rex Burkhead.
It's high and short. It's relatively short, in fact. It's going to take a bounce across the 35. Mishandled by Edelman. Picked up on the run by Dieter. Unencumbered to the end zone.
After reviewing the play, we determined that the receiver did not touch the ball. Therefore,
Brady takes the step, gives to Michelle, runs it right, first down and more, untouched, into the end zone, touchdown Patriots, they regain the lead.
At the 2-yard line, Kansas City handoff,
Damian Williams into the end zone, blast in there, touchdown, Kansas City, and the Chiefs regain the lead.
Brady is going to turn and give it to Burkhead, he runs it left behind Devlin, he blows his way to the end zone, touchdown Patriots. And they've regained the lead with 39 seconds on the clock in this AFC Championship.
Winchester is the long snapper, the pride of the Choctaw Nation of Oklahoma. Colquitt puts the placement down. Butker's kick. This can't be more perfect. The Chiefs have tied the game at 8 seconds remaining in regulation.
Brady under center. A give to Burkhead. Runs it left for the win. Touchdown, Patriots! And they're bound for Super Bowl 53.
What a call, Sosi. We're going back, baby. And there ain't nothing you can do about it. America's worst nightmare is back. We're going to our fourth Super Bowl in 5 years.
Welcome back, 104.5 The Zone. Coach Dave McGinnis says a lot of that type of stuff on Titan
you know
Radio
what?
With Mikey.
Just listening to that stuff makes me, can we just get the Super Bowl out of the way so we can start playing ball again? I mean, can't wait to get back up. Look, look. That's really what it's all about, you know, just the unbridled emotion, enthusiasm that you feel. I mean, that's what this game elicits, and that's why, again, going back to our first segment, it's a complete heartbreaker when something happens when you're working for something as big as it was. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, I'm surprised that the French Quarter's still standing down there. I mean, they hadn't turned over cars and started, you know. I mean, Can you even imagine? And look, all of these games, these were really good football games. They were good football games. There were great plays made. I mean, there were some really good calls made. There were some good coaching moves made. There were some bad coaching moves made. There was some poor time management. But it was all within the context of something that is very, very important in 3 hours and 15 minutes. And that's why this game is so captivating for so many people.
Oh, it's the best time. And that's why I have to ask you real quick on the coaching side of it. When you watch at the end of the game, and I'm talking about the Kansas City-New England game, I was really interested, especially being a defensive guy, you know, about how they were calling plays, because I thought they should have been doubling Edelman and Gronk at the end of the game. I go, well, what is the guy looking at as a DC? I don't understand. Make the other players beat you.
Oh, thank you. And I was, you know, look, you know, this is not prearranged, really. We didn't text during the game. That's the thing that I was saying, too. I mean, look, I promise you, they're going to throw it to Edelman or they're going to throw it to Gronk. Yeah. So double them. Double those guys. Get some help because, you know.
I want to see what Hogan can do. Can he get me? Can he make that third down catch? Can he make that critical catch?
Let's see.
I'd rather for him to beat me.
Let's see if he can. As I said, I was at a big watch party, so I couldn't hear, you know, what was going on. And I'm sure those guys, I'm talking about, you know, Romo and those, I'm sure they were saying the same thing.
Well, Romo was calling out the actual play.
Well, he was running the skinny post on the inside.
When
they lined up out there at number two with that number split, I'm going, here it comes,
skinny post.
And he'd sit back there and would just dial it up. And look, Edelman, is as good as there is at that kind of thing.
Especially in the slot.
Now Gronk is just a beast. And when he can move, and you saw what he's some of that stuff he was doing, but one on one, Gronk is a hard unit to handle. But at that time in the game, yes, you've got the answer is yes. And again, as I say, this is not prearranged for our listeners. Wayne and I didn't talk about this for 1 minute, you know, but the thought was in my head.
Well, I just wonder what goes on, because my other question was about Sean Payton, just last, you know, coach's question. Like, how often, when you know they should be on the time management part of it.
Oh, man.
And he threw the ball. You should have been running the ball. I mean, do the coaches start overthinking it? Because you say, man, you know he knows this. Now, we're not in the pressure situation.
Right.
We're not on the sideline. We're sitting on our couch, you know, with our mosey old, you know, cozy TV on the wall and everything else. But you're going, why did he do that?
Yeah. Well,
immediately.
The whole time management thing is something that's so critical. And again, Sean Payton's called – one of the best play callers in the business. But in that situation, when you start looking at the clock and looking at what's going on, you want the clock to run and you want to force your opponent to take their timeouts. You bleed it down. You kick the field goal, and then maybe we're not even talking about this other thing. We still had a shot.
Wow.
I hate the overtime rule that both teams don't get a chance to touch the ball. Even if the first team scores a touchdown, it makes no sense to me, because in that Patriots game, as soon as the Patriots won the toss, I said, game's over.
Yeah.
Because Kansas City wasn't stopping them. I just don't understand. You know, the earth will not come off its axis if you know, with another possession.
It does in New Orleans, but.
Yeah, maybe.
It's spun off down there.
Maybe, but I don't understand that.
Well, and again, it was changed. You know, you remember when it was changed. They changed it. They changed it when they said, look, if you kick the field goal, then the other team gets a chance. You remember it used to be first one to score field goal. How many of us have been involved, you know, going back to that? Somebody gets it. All they've got to do is move it down. You got a great kicker. You got a Zuerlein that can hit it from anywhere, and all of a sudden the game's over and you never get to touch it. So – the competition committee, I was there when they did this. They went back in and said, okay, if you kick a field goal, well, then you still get a shot at it. But if you score a touchdown, okay, you have to drive it the length. You know, back then, before they did that, it was 80 yards. Okay, now it's 75 because they've moved it out to the 25 yard line. And so they might revisit it. You know, they might revisit it. But you know why it is in place where it is right now. For the regular season, it's in place for the time element. The time element of the game. And the time element of the game is controlled by the television networks. You know, that's why it's in there.
But to me, in postseason games, the games themselves are too big and important to not let each team at least have one opportunity with the ball.
Not let a coin flip.
But hey, look the league meetings this year are in Phoenix at the Biltmore. I'll get you both a room, and you can go down there and meet with the competition committee. But that's a valid argument. I mean, it's a fair point. And again, you're sitting there looking at it. And as you said, as soon as Brady got it, anybody that has watched football for any amount of time is going to go, got an issue.
We kind of felt like whoever got the ball, because New England really wasn't stopping Kansas City.
They really weren't, and you're 100% right. You know, and Kansas City was stopping themselves. You know, early on is what was going on. And again, you can go back to the other game. You know, look at the chances. Look at the chances that New Orleans had in the red zone early in the ball game. You know, look at that. But back to your point, and both of you guys' point about the overtime. I'm sure they'll look at it again.
Coach Dave McGinnis is our guest. He's brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. You need great health care coverage at an affordable price. Let Farm Bureau Health Plans coach you through it. They have got you covered. More Wake Up Zone right after this. 104.5 The Zone. 8:48 the time. We continue with Coach Mack. Dave McGinnis from Titans Radio, brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Great story on how you get. We were talking about Greg Zuerlein, and you guys found him.
You guys drafted him.
Yeah, the Rams. Not yet. Let me say something. You know, I'll always be honest with you guys.
I could dream about being a kicker.
Yeah, it's not you guys. It was John Fossil, Bones Fossil, Jim Fossil's son, who, you know, Jeff Fisher hired from the Raiders when we first got that job, you know, because, you know, I'd worked with Jim. Anyway, we got him. And when we got there, that Rams team had been 15-65 the five previous years. Now, I'm not real smart.
Field goal.
I'm not real smart, but just do the math. You know, 15 divided by 5, that's 3 wins a year for 5. The worst 5-year stretch in NFL history. So, needless to say, there weren't a whole lot of talent sitting around there at the time. And we had no kickers. And so Jeff Fisher told John Fossil, go find me 2 kickers in the whole country. Like, you know, around the world in 80 days. Go find me 2 kickers, the best ones. And he went out and found Greg Zuerlein and Johnny Hecker. And those two guys are, I mean, it was amazing. And when they first came in, we were talking, you know, during the break, when Zuerlein first came in, we didn't know who he was. So he started to kick. And you know how when you're lined up on the driving range and hear somebody down the way here and the sound just sounds different, or when you're watching batting practice and it just sounds different when it comes off. Well, that's how it sounded coming off of Zuerlein's leg. And we go, whoa, what? I mean, but that group, and he and Jake McQuaid is their center, and they, those guys have been that battery ever since, you know, ever since we came in there. I mean, they are money. And that, those two kicks yesterday were money. I mean, you know, 48-yarder and 57-yarder in that type of situation. Come on, guys. I mean, that's big time ball. But those guys are clutch, and they're great human beings, and they're professionals. And they're, well, you saw Johnny Hecker throw that 9 stop out there on the fake punt. You know, I'm sitting there watching
on
that.
The money.
Sitting there watching. Oh no, he's an athlete. Big,
no, but wait, hold on. They were on their own 30, coach. Hey,
look, now I'm telling you, and that's
their own 30. That took some serious cojoneses.
But he doesn't go for it on fourth and goal from the 1.
Yeah, no, exactly.
That makes no sense, no. Right?
But Hecker, we had Hecker doing that stuff. I mean, the first time we ever beat Seattle, we did it. You know, with a fake. But that guy is a legitimate quarterback. I mean, he's the third quarterback.
Oh, okay.
Because he is legit now, athlete.
All right, I want to ask you a Titans-related question, and then if we have time, we'll go to the phones. You know, and I asked you this, you know, during the break, but I want to revisit it. You hear a lot now around the league that interior line play has almost become more important than your 2 tackles because of the need to protect the integrity of the pocket and the way the offense is are set up. Do you agree with that? And with that in mind, how do you think that shapes John Robinson and Mike Vrabel's game plan heading into the offseason?
Well, I mean, again, I mean, that's up to them, you know, what they want to do. I mean, with moving around the talent acquisition, but just talking about in general what's going on in the league, I mean, you can see because of the way offenses are set up now, the ball's coming out quicker. The ball's coming out quicker, and so what you like to do, you like to collapse the cylinder from inside out and give your edge rushers a chance, because most of the time now, very seldom are you getting that 7-step drop, which used to take them to 9 yards, and then they've moved up, you know, they'd be to 6 or 7 for your edge rushers to get there. Most of the time what you'd like to do is get pressure up the middle, I'm talking defensively now, and get them to flush. Once you can get them to flush, then you have a chance, because of the way offenses are right now. I mean, all you got to do is put a stopwatch on it and just see how quick the football is coming out. So yes, interior line play, and plus, you know, it's become extremely important now just because of the way the run games are going. This, you know, this inside and outside zone stuff, you know, talks about for combination blocking up inside, your tackles are normally always going to be one-on-ones, but your help, you know, can come from your interior. So I mean, yeah, I mean, you're gonna have to be, it's just like the old baseball analogy, you got to be strong up the middle. Well, you know, you anything up the middle and line play. I thought the line play in both of these games, you know, was extremely important. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's important. So, you know, that's my take on it.
Let's get a call or two in.
Let's
here.
Get a call.
All right, Bill in Nashville. Good morning. You're on the zone.
Hey, good morning, guys. Just to look at the game from a different perspective, what economic impact do you think this game had on the city of New Orleans and the state of Louisiana? I remember when Tennessee lost in the Sugar Bowl a few years ago, they estimated in Knoxville it cost in sales revenue approximately $50 million. Thoughts on that?
You know, I would have no idea. You know, thanks for the call, Bill. I'd have no idea on the money. I do know this. If the Saints are in that Super Bowl in Atlanta, nobody would be left in New Orleans. Nobody. True. That whole state would have come up there. You know, I don't know what
beignets.
I don't know. Bring their beignets, and I don't know, and their doubloons. I don't know what the tickets are going for, but if the Saints would have been in that thing, Come on, man. You could not have gotten on the highway. I know that.
Wow.
Let's go to Craig. Good morning. You're on the zone. What's going on?
Just now pulled in my driveway back from the game. I actually live here in Dixon, Tennessee, but I was born and raised in Kenner, Louisiana.
There you go.
I went down there to see the game, and I was actually sitting in section 130, which is the corner of the end zone where this incident had happened.
No.
And I'm telling you guys, of all my years of watching football, I've never in my life seen two refs literally look at one another and both shrug their shoulders and make no call. It questioned me as to whether, is this league really rigged now? I'm not saying back then or in the past or anything like that. But I'm saying, is this league driven so much by money now that they intentionally made calls to put the best team in the East Coast with the best team in the West Coast? But as far as I'm concerned, as a Saints fan, I will not be watching this Super Bowl. I will boycott it. And I hope that the League of the Alliance of American Football ends up being a great football.
Thanks, yeah, Greg. Wow. Greg, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate your passion, and I mean, who dat? I mean, because look, I'm just saying that I've been doing this a long time. I've been involved in over 650 NFL games. It's one of the most egregious calls I've ever seen not made. I will just say that. And for those two guys, again, you know, for those two guys to sit there and not make that call, I mean, that was malpractice. It was. I agree. Now, it's not fixed. It's bad ball on those officials. And I think it's a symptom of what's happened with this officiating department. Not only this year, it's been symptomatic from leadership on down in that officiating department. And that, look, the games were great, but that's the league's worst nightmare to have it flip on a non-call. So I feel your pain. Believe me, I got a lot of friends down there in New Orleans, and they're feeling the same way.
And I'll just say real quick, we're going into a break. New Orleans is one of the most passionate fan bases in the league.
No doubt.
The Super Bowl's in Atlanta. Geographically, I think the league was sort of rooting for the Saints. Maybe over the Rams, to be honest.
Well, yeah. Television-wise, everybody's going to watch it anyway.
Yeah.
But just what I said earlier, the city of New Orleans and all surrounding areas, they would have emptied. Nobody would have been home. Everybody would have been in Atlanta.
Man, I wish they would have got the refs saying to each other, hey, man, did you check that out? I didn't check that out. I didn't see it. Then somebody would have turned it in. Did you get that check in the mail?
Oh. Well, the check's in the mail for Coach Dave McGinnis. We always appreciate it every Monday, man.
Guys, look, I mean, you know, I love coming in here on Mondays and talking ball. But that one, yes, I mean, wow. Anyway, all right. See you.
Have a good one, Coach.
Thanks, guys. See you.
All right. Coach Dave McGinnis brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. You need great health care coverage at an affordable price. Let Farm Bureau Health Plans coach you through it. They got you covered. Wake Up Zone continues next. This is 104.5 The Zone. Hang around. Lead changes, overtime controversy, the conference championships games. Had them all. Talk more about them when we come back.